Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Mem Ked Amud Aleph, five lines down. The Gemara is discussing the position of Rav, who says that our entire perek is governed by the principle of Me'eid La'eid, that any age that is mentioned in our perek has to be to the full term of that age, which means even in the Mishnah that we just mentioned where it says 18 and 20, it means a full 18 years, or full 20 years, or it means 20 years in one day, 18 years in one day, even though it's not mentioned in our Mishnah. On the other hand, Ula believed that there are different ages in this parak. The other Mishnayot that mentioned the extra day meant a full term. This Mishnah that doesn't means into the 18th year, into the 20th year. We also saw the Braitot that brought Rabbi Yossi ben Kiper and Rabbi Akiva that also seemed to agree with that point that it's 20 years or 18 years is not a full 20 years, full 18 years, but into the 18th year, into the 20th year. And then we were left with Rav's position, which is hard to understand then, if both the Mishnah here is explained in Braitot otherwise, and the fact that there's no Echad that is mentioned here. It doesn't say Esrim Shana V'yom Echad in our Mishnah, as opposed to all the other Mishnayot in the Perek. The Gemara concluded that Rav is a Machloket Tanaim. There's another Tana that is Rav's backing, and that is the Braita that we just brought, that we have a Braita that tells us that certain items have to be Me'eid La'eid. And in that list we had Shana Amura B'Kodoshim, animals of Kodoshim are governed by Me'eid La'eid, Batei Arei Chuma, the selling of a house in a walled city. Those two, we noted, also go from hour to hour. They don't just go from day to day of Me'eid La'eid. Then we saw the Shtei Shanim Shebistei Achuza, the 2 years of minimum that you have to leave a field with another party before you redeem it, and the Shei Shanim Sheba Eved Ivri, and the 6 years that an Eved Ivri is enslaved, also was from the day of purchase or the day that he starts his work until the 6 years elapse, and not based on Minyan Ha'olam. And then we have Sheba Ben Usheba Bat, and that also has to do with a son and daughter, a male and a female. So here we're thinking that this is the Braita that is supportive of Rav's contention. And that's what the Gemara says, Shebeben Ushebat my Hilchota. The Braita, we went through all the items in the Braita and explained the source for them, and we understand where they come from. But the Braita mentions generically Ben and Bat, that also goes Me'eid La'eid. What's the halachic reference that it's making? So Amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav, Le'inyan Arachin. It has to do with Arachin. As we know, we spent a lot of time this in Masechet Arachin, there are age brackets, and depending on your gender in the age bracket, then you pay a fixed amount to the Mikdash if you dedicate the Arachin. In describing the Arachin, it says, Immi ben shishim shana v'malo. It says that if you're 60 years old and older, then these are the rules. The implications of that statement are that 60-year-old belongs to the lower category. And that is that 60 and older goes this way. But that means 60 itself belongs to the lower category. Or in essence, it means Me'eid La'eid. You have to complete a full 60 years before you jump to the next category. It's only when you're Lamala, once you pass 60 years, that you actually get to be in the higher category or the next bracket. So that's clear that Shnat Shishim is Kalamato. The problem is when it comes to the other age brackets, the Torah doesn't give you Lamata, Lamala. It doesn't give you that. So it says, Ve'im ben chamesh shanim, va'ad ben esrim shana. So there you don't have any indication as to whether the 5 and the 20, which bracket they belong in. And also in the first category, me ben chodesh, va'ad ben chamesh shanim, it also doesn't give you any v'ma'lo to identify which bracket you belong to. So how do we know where chamesh shanim and esrim shana fit in? Where's their determination? So here, this braita that's telling us, the ben ulabat, tells us that both of those age categories are also Me'eid La'eid, which means that 5 years belongs to the lower category, and 20 years belongs to the lower category. So that just like until 60 belongs to the lower category, above 60, 60 years in one day goes to the next category, same will be true by 5 years and 20 years. The 5 years will be in the lower bracket, and the 20 years will be in the lower bracket. You will only graduate to the next bracket once you've cleared an entire 5 years, and then one day, or 20 years, and one day. That's the Me'eid La'eid over here. Shebeinu Labat is a reference to that din in Arachin. Now, the Balei HaTosafot point out that if you say that is true by the Ben Labat in the Braita, then we just lost our proof to Rav's position. Now you don't have a Tana that supports Rav's contention that the Mishnah over here, that's Mishnah 18 and 20, is a reference to the Mi'et Leit as well. And this is Rav Gittel Amar Rav. This is Rav Gittel in the name of Rav. So that makes it that the one Braita that we could have found support for Rav, he's using for a different reason, and he's doing it in the name of Rav. So the Tosafot over here says, Ish Lamark, the Savar Rav Tanahu Poli. That Rav Gittel Amar Rav must believe that Rav has a Tanaic status, and he can argue on the other Tanaim, because now we don't have a Braita that backs him up. As opposed to the other version, which is Rav Yosef Amar, the Pirkin de Yotze Dofen. Rav Yosef says that the Ben or the Bat in the Braita is for our Perek of Yotze Dofen. That's the name of our Perek. And that's what the Ben or the Bat is coming to teach you, that everything in our Perek, male, female, is Mi'et Leit. So obviously, according to Rav Yosef's explanation of Ben or Bat, the Braita is supportive of Rav's contention, and this is the Tana that Rav is following. Amar Le Abaye, Mi Pligat. So Abaye says to his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, do you argue? Meaning that you made the statement that Pirkin Leotze Dofen, that the Ben Obad is a reference to the ages in our Perek, and Rav Gil Marav said it's a reference to Arachin. Amalei, lo. Rav Yosef responds to him, we don't argue, we both agree that both by Arachin and by our Perek, it's all made eight. Hu amar chada, v'an amin achado. I said one thing, he said another thing, they both are true, and we don't argue about it. And that makes sense that they don't argue. If you think they do argue, then the one who says that it has a reference to Arachin, he's not going to say the same thing about our Perek. Didn't we have Rav's position before that the Halacha and the entire Perek is made eight? And how would you reconcile with that if you believe that only by Arachin it's true, not by Yotzei Dofen, especially since the person making that statement is Amar Rav Gittel Amar Rav. Ela lemanda amar la Arachin, my time alo amar li Yotzei Dofen. Why did the one, meaning Rav Gittel Amar Rav, who says that Ben Ubat in the Braita is a reference to Arachin, why didn't he say that's a reference to our Perek? It says, Dumya Dahanoch. He wanted to keep them all consistent. Braita brings a list of items. What is the common denominator between all the items that are mentioned in the Braita? Mahanach dichtivan, avhane nami dichtivan. All of the items mentioned in the Braita are explicit midoraita. They're all age requirements or time requirements that the Torah prescribes. And that's the common denominator between them. Therefore, if you explain ben and bat to refer to arachin, that's another item that's written in the Torah. Our Mishnah here with regards to 18 and 20 years is all rabbinic or b'misora. There is nothing in there that's Torah shebichtav about 18 years old and 20 years old. That's all Torah shebe'alpeh. So he felt that Ben Ubat must be referencing to Arachin, not to say to the exclusion of what's going on in our Perek, but just it wasn't relevant to the Braita. The Braita is not addressing those types of issues. It's only addressing issues d'oraita. V'idach, hai sheben Ubat. So what about Rav Yosef, who says that Ben Abbat is a reference to our Perek and not Arachin? The answer is because the Braita used Ben Ubat. If it was a reference to Arachin in the Torah, the din of the Torah is Zachar Nekeva. Zachar Nekeva. That is the language that's used in Parshat Arachin. So if you wanted to say you were speaking about Parshat Arachin, you would have mentioned male-female as a terminology of Zachar Nekeva. The fact that you mentioned Ben Ubat, which is not a terminology that's used by Arachin, but rather the terminology that's used in our Mishnah, I think it's referencing to the Mishnayot in this Perek, and not to the Arachin. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Elazar. So we have Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani quoting Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, the Amora in Eretz Yisrael. Halocha ke Rabbi Yossi ben Kiper, Shamar Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. The Halocha is like Rabbi Yossi ben Kiper in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, which we saw in yesterday's daf, the Braita that said, Rabbi Yosef ben Kiper, Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Shnat Isrim Sheyatzu Mimena Shloshim Yom, Harei Kishnat Isrim Lechol Dvarea. So he brought down the 20, which was the view of Beit Hillel, or view of Rabbi Eliezer, at least with regards to males, so that the age of 20 is not determined by completing a full 20 years, but rather that into your 20th year. How far into your 20th year do you need to be? 30 days. Shloshim Yom is Kishana. And therefore, if you get 30 days into your 20th year, or in essence, 30 days after your 19th birthday, that's enough to deem you as being 20 years old. That would be against Rav's position over here, but more aligned with what we see in our Mishnah, as well as with the Braitot. Rav, we saw, was an outside opinion, really, because he only had one Braita that maybe supported his position, but everything else and all the other evidence points to the side that you don't need Meit Eit in this situation. And over here, we're saying the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, that you need 30 days into the year, and 20 is the threshold. Am Rabbi Zera, Eskeh ve'esek, I should merit to go up to Eretz Yisrael, v'gamar l'shmaita mipumei demoro, and I'll learn it directly from the mouth of Rabbi Lazar ben Pedat, Kisalik, when he went to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Zera, ashkechei l'Rabbi Elazar, he found Rabbi Lazar ben Pedat, amalei, amar t'halacha k'Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, did you really say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur in this situation? Amalei, mistabra amre, he makes the most sense. All the other Mishnayot in our Perek that mention an age, say that age, and then Yom Echad. So it was 12 years and one day, 13 years and one day. And in our Mishnah, it's absent, the Yom Echad. It makes the most sense, like him, meaning that it makes the most sense to say that our Mishnah is differentiated from the other Mishnayot in the Perek, like Ula had suggested. And Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur is the one who tells us that 30 days into that year is sufficient. Rabbi said the same thing. He just said it with 18 years instead of 20 years. Again, 20 years makes more sense, either because you're following Beit Hillel or you're following Rabbi Eliezer's view, which takes the combination of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, one by the male, 20 years, and 18 by the female. But either way, 20 seems to be a threshold age here, according to Beit Hillel. And to say 30 days into that year, it makes the most sense. And therefore, yeah, I did paskin like him. Tosafot over here raises an issue that we saw back in the first perek, which is that Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat only paskins like Rabbi Eliezer in four instances. And the Gemara back there said, is that really true? We find other instances where we paskin halacha like Rabbi Eliezer. And guess what? This would have been one of them. Because over here it's Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, Shamar Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. He's quoting in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. And here, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat is paskining like him. So then, why doesn't he include this as one of those instances where he paskins like Rabbi Eliezer? So Tosafot gives a couple of answers, one of which is similar to the genre of answers we saw in the first parak. Omar Mishum Dehocha Kai Rabbi Kavate. But over here, Rabbi paskins like him. Kedamar V'chein Hore Rabbi Belod. So you see that Rabbi agreed with the view of Rabbi Eliezer over here. He says it by 18, not by 20. But fundamentally, he agrees with the concept that you don't need a full 20 years. You only need 30 days into the year. So Rabbi is agreeing at least on that point. And since Rabbi supports Rabbi Eliezer, it might be that Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat favored his position because of Rabbi, not because of Rabbi Eliezer. That's one way to deal with that issue. Or the other way to deal with the issue is to say that Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat's position was only referencing to Mishnayot. When Rabbi Eliezer is found in a Mishnah, he only paskins like him four times. But here, it's Rabbi Eliezer that's been quoted in a Braita. And he's paskins like him in a Braita, and that's a different world. That's not where he said only four times, because four times was with regards to the Mishnayot. Before we finish, I just wanted to point out something interesting about Rashi in this Perek. It turns out that Rashi in this Perek, in a number of instances, is what I call Rashi the Shitato. One of those instances is what we saw back on Daf Mem Vav. Rashi over there discusses the issue of a katan, hamufla l'samoch l'ish, who has the right to take a neder and have it be binding. And then we said over there that if it's only rabbinically binding, then he would not be culpable because a katan, Rashi says, is lav bar kibuli alei takanta derabanan. A katan does not accept upon himself a takana derabanan. Rashi in the Gemara in Brachot has a machloket with the Balei HaTosafot with regards to chinuch of katanim. When you are educating minors, what is the rabbinic institution or obligation with regards to chinuch? Does it mean that the individual is obligated to be mechanech, the youngster? Or do we say that the youngster actually has a rabbinic obligation to do the mitzvah? So Rashi over there always states that the obligation remains with the parent. The child never has an obligation. The parent or the guardian or whoever's training him is the one that is the obligated party. The other hand, the Balei HaTosafot over there make it clear that they think that there's a rabbinic obligation on the child. Rashi, the Shitato over here, says that a katan is lav bar kibul elei takanta derabonan hi. That the katan does not have the ability to accept a takana derabanan. That's Rashi, the Shitato, that with regards to chinuch, with regards to minors that are obligated in mitzvah because of chinuch, the obligation is on the guardian or the parent. The obligation is not on the individual themselves, on the minor themselves. And that's what Rashi said back on Memvav Amud Bet, that a katan can't accept upon himself a takana derabanan because he's never the obligated party when it comes to chinuch. It's all the outside parties. So that's one interesting aspect with Rashi, with regards to Rashi the Shitato. The second thing is, with regards to the census that is taken in the Midbar, that Rashi notes over there that they take a census twice, and the census turns out to the same exact number, which is this magic number of 603,550. And we have that count both in Sefer Shmot, when they're building the Mishkan, and later on in the Midbar, when they do the census again, it gives you the exact same number. And Rashi says, incredulously, how could it be that at one count it was 603,550, and at the next count they got to the exact same number? How is that possible? So Rashi, in answering that question, says, Vim Tomar, V'chiev Shev Shnei Ma Yisrael Shavim, Shesh Meod Elev Shloshet Afim, V'chamesh Meod V'chamishim? How could that be? Because wasn't it over 2 years? And if it was over 2 years, isn't it true that every person that was a year younger, by the time you got to the next year, would be a year older? It says, Tshuva L'davar. The answer to that question is, Etzel Shnot Anashim, B'Shana Achat Nimnu. In the lifespan of individuals, it was the same year. Aval Minyan Yitziyah Mitzrayim Ayu Shtei Shanim. But at the times of Mitzrayim, it was 2 years. The Fish and Yitziyah Mitzrayim Monim Minisan. Because the counts that were done over the threshold of Nisan. It means that when it says the first year in the Midbar, they did the count for the Mishkan, that was pre-Nisan. When they did the count for the Midbar, it was in the second year. That's how Sefer Midbar begins. It's in the second year. But it's in the second year counting from Nisan. So that means that they crossed over Nisan. So this is their second year since they've left Mitzrayim. But what they don't have in between those 2 years is Tishrei. They haven't crossed over Tishrei. Both of those counts are in the same year with regards to Tishrei. And Rashi makes the following statement. About Shnot Anashim Menuin Leminyan Shnot Ha'olam Amatchilin Mitishrei. Your age is determined by the calendar, not driven by Nisan, but driven by Tishrei. Nipsu Shnei HaMinyanim B'Shana Achat. Based on that, they're in the same year. That is an incredulous statement that Rashi makes. The Ramban on the spot takes him to task for it and says, what does it matter? Why does it matter that they're in the same year? If you have a birthday that is on Nisan, or if you have a birthday that's in Iyar, then why should it matter that you are in the same year? If you cross over your birthday, you are now older. So why wouldn't it be that you move from 19 to 20, or you move from 60 to 61 during that period of time? It has to do with your birthday. What does it have to do with Rosh Hashanah? What does it have to do with Tishrei? Rashi clearly believes, and our Perek corroborates that everywhere that Rashi comments in our Perek, he notes that there are two options in terms of counting. One option in terms of counting is mi'eit le'eit, and the other option in counting is the minyan ha'olam. And Rashi explains many of the cases here, starting on Mem Dalet, all the way through our daf today, that counting is driven by Rosh Hashanah. The example that he gave is a nafka mina between the opinions of 3 years and 3 years and 1 day was Erev Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. The reason being is because for Rashi, he believes that the age is determined by crossing over Rosh Hashanah. He looks at your age like the way that you look at the reign of a king. And that just like the reign of the king, once you cross for Jewish kings Nisan or non-Jewish kings Tishrei, you're ready into your second year of your reign. Rashi thinks the same thing with regards to age. Your age is determined by Minyan Olam, by Tishrei. When you cross over Tishrei, that turns you into the next year of your life. You will not age another year until you reach Tishrei the following year. So you will have, in your first year that you are born, you have a stub year. From whenever time you're born during that year until Tishrei, that will be your first year of life. Once you cross over Tishrei, you're already 2 years old. And for Rashi, therefore, the two censuses in the Midbar that were done, one before Nisan, one after Nisan, but in the same year vis-a-vis Tishrei, everybody was the same age in both of the censuses. And that's why Rashi says the census comes out to 603,550 twice, because everybody was the same age. They hadn't crossed over Tishrei. Nobody will age. Nobody will get older until they get to Tishrei. It's an amazing thing, which is that everybody has a birthday, quote unquote, on the same day, which is on Rosh Hashanah. Every year, everybody gets a year older, according to this view. The Ramban takes Rashi to task, and one of those things he mentions is, Vod Kashali, Kiminyon Shnot Anashim, Eino Leminyon Shnot Olam, Mitishrei, Avo Me'eleit Yom Hivaldo. Ramban says, nobody counts their birthdays based on Tishrei. Everybody counts their birthdays based on their birthdays, Me'eleit. That's what we just discussed over here, that birthdays are driven by Me'eleit. So the Ramban says exactly what you were noting, which is that, like the normal way of the world, people are dying every day. And then there were a number of people who graduated from being less than 19 to being 20. And it turns out that they offset each other. The number of people graduating in and the number of people passing away offset each other. And that way you got an equal count over here. But anyway, I sent out these Mikorot the other day. It's interesting to look at just Rashi the Shita Toto, but also an important Rashi with regards to the census, because Rashi in the Chumash and Rashi in this Perek heavily favors this idea that birthdays are driven by Rosh Hashanah and not made late, not driven by your actual birthday. Next Perek, Basiman Atachton Achelo Bahel Yom. If the lower Siman shows up before the upper Siman shows up, O Choletzet, O Mitya Bemet. At that point in time, she does either Chalitza or Yibum, meaning that she is considered to be a Gedola. She's considered to be of age. We said yesterday that the determining factor of age is puberty. So if you have the signs of puberty, which is the Siman HaTachton, that already makes her or graduates her to be of age. Once she's of age, she can perform Chalitza and Yibum. The truth is that Yibum she can perform even before that, because there's a machloki between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim with regards to a ktana performing Yibum. Rabbi Meir disallows it because he's choshesh the miut of ktanot, that would be Eilon Yot. The Chachamim say the rove governs, and the rove of women will be productive women, and therefore she can't perform Yibum. But the real side here is Chalitza. Chalitza does require you be of age. That's because the hekesh that's found in the Parsha of Yibum between the Ish and the Isha. And over there, the Ish is the terminology that's used, which means a man of age can perform Chalitza. So to a woman of age is the only one who can have Chalitza performed to her. And that's what it means here, that Choletzet O Mitya Bemet. Ba'al Yon Achelo Ba Tachton. If the upper Simanim appear before the lower Simanim appear, that means that her developmental stages that we saw yesterday with regards to her breast have reached the point in time where we would assume she has reached puberty, yet she hasn't reached puberty. So afapi shi efshar, even though that is impossible, because as we said yesterday, that the simanim up top are a siman from down below, and they too move in tandem, and there's no way you can have the simanim up top that don't also coincide with the siman down below. So even though it's efshar, Rabbi Meir Omer, lo choletzet velo mitya bemet. Rabbi Meir says, you do not perform Chalitza, you do not perform Yibum, meaning that we deem her to be a Tana. So now, in terms of Chalitza, we understand. And this is also Rabbi Meir, the Shitato, that if she's a Tana, she can't perform Yibum. Therefore, both Chalitza and Yibum are precluded in this situation. Chamim omrim, o choletzet, o mitya bemet. The din is no different. If she already has these signs up above, that's a guarantee that down below she has reached the age of puberty. The reason that you're not seeing anything is because, nashru, they fell away. But that's because we have other evidence to back it up. We wouldn't just say, maybe she reached the age of puberty and they fell away. But here, where we have evidence of maturity from the upper part of her body, then that's the assumption we're going to make with regards to the lower part of her body. Mipnei shamru. Efshar l'tachton novo ashlo ba'al yom. It's possible for puberty to be hit before the upper part of her body shows that same maturity. But it's impossible for the upper part of the body to show maturity without the bottom part of the body showing a coincident aging or maturity. And therefore, this situation is impossible. And if she's showing signs of maturity up above, then we know for sure she's reached puberty, even though we can't identify her, we can't see it. So now Gemara says, Afapi shi'efshar. The Mishnah says, even though it's impossible, Vahaloba. What do you mean? the whole case in the Mishnah is a case where this happened. So how can you tell me that even though it's impossible, nevertheless, it happened? Bala Rabbi Meir, Afal Pishi Efshar the Rabbanan. You're describing the positions of different Tanaim over here. The Efshar is describing the position of the Chachamim, who say that it's impossible for that to happen. Although for Rabbi Meir, who believes it is possible to happen, then the halacha is such. So it is true that it doesn't happen according to the Chachamim. But since, according to Rabbi Meir, it does happen, what are the ramifications of that? So, Bala Rabbi Meir, Afal Pishi Efshar the Rabbanan. It happens for Rabbi Meir, who thinks it can happen, even though it's impossible for the Rabbanan. Velitnei Bahelyon. Why don't you just say, if the upper Simanim come, Rabbi Meir Omer, Lo Choletzet, Velo Mitya Bemet. You could have just easily stated this in the Mishnah and say, if you only have the upper signs, then according to Rabbi Meir, that's not sufficient. And therefore, you can't perform Yibum and Chalitza. And I would have known from this, Dimishum de'ef sharhu, because it's impossible, that is why the Chachamim have that position. Meaning, we could have intuited their positions without having to write it explicitly if you just stated their opinions in the following manner, which is when you have the upper Simanim, which we saw in yesterday's daf means Bochal, that was the mid-range maturity, is coordinated or coincident with puberty. So if you have those signs, Rabbi Meir says that's not definitive, because he doesn't believe that just because the upper sign means that the lower sign is in place. And that's why he says she can't perform Chalitza, she can't perform Yibum. Whereas the Chachamim believe that that's impossible, and that's why they say she does Chalitza, she does Yibum. And we would have known the whole reasoning behind their positions is because of Efshar versus Efshar. It says, look, Ilotano, Afal Pishi Efshar, had you not stated explicitly that that's the reason of the Chachamim, Hava Amina. I would have thought that this is the way to explain the machloki between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir. Rov Nafshin Tachton Ati Bereisha, Umiut Elyon Ati Bereisha. It's actually a majority of women, and a large majority of women have it that their lower sign, meaning the age of puberty, will only come if you have Bochal, the maturity up above of her breasts. By definition, she will have puberty down below. But there are a minority of women out there that don't have that. And they can have a siman up above, even though they don't have a siman down below. And then their opinions are the following. Rabbi Meir l'tameh, Rabbi Meir l'shitato, which we already noted, d'chayish l'miuta, he worries about a minority. And therefore over here, he won't allow you to perform chalitza and yibum when you have the upper signs, because there are a minority of women where that upper sign does not guarantee that you have puberty down below. Just like he worries about a ktana not performing Yibum, because it's a miyot that are ailayinu yot, so too over here, we will not allow her to perform Yibum or Chalitza when she shows only the upper sign, not the lower sign, because of the fact that there are a minority of women that have the upper sign without the lower sign. And he's chayish demyuta, and he won't allow it to be formed. Now, it's true here that according to Rabbi Meir, it actually turns out now that it's a miyuta demiyuta. Because with regards to Yibum, he says there are a minority of youngsters that are ailoniyot. And besides that, there are a minority of women that have an upper sign without a lower sign. So if you combine the two minorities, it becomes a miyuta demiyuta. And we know that Rabbi Meir agrees that by miyuta miyuta, we're not choshesh. So why over here is Rabbi Meir choshesh if you are piling on miyutim? So the different ways to answer this are either because the miyutim are not correlated, and since they're not correlated, they don't become a miyuta de miyuta. There are rishonim like the Ritva that suggest that that's a reason to believe that it's not a miyuta de miyuta. There are chlaner suggests that there's a riuta here. There is a deficit over here. Since this woman has gone out of the normal progression of women, which is most women, when they have a sign up above, that indicates puberty down below. The fact that she has a sign up above and has not reached puberty, that already means there's something wrong or something unusual about this woman. Once you're in that category of unusual, maybe it's not so far-fetched to say that this woman also might be an ailonit, which is also indicated by the lack of puberty as she ages. So the two are actually somewhat correlated, because the minority of women that have this out-of-order development might also be an indication of a bigger problem of ailonit. And that's why it's not considered to be a miyuta, miyuta. Rabbanan and tamayu, nirbanan and lishitatam, galo chayish the miyuta, that they don't worry about a miyut. And therefore they follow the rove over here. And rove women end up having their upper maturity in coincidence with their lower maturity, or their lower maturity always precedes. Svahani mile bistama. And that would be true only if we had no better information. Meaning that if you come and ask us the question, what should the woman do? Here you have a machloket the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir. And the question is, do we follow the Rov or we're Chayish the Miyuta? That's what I would have thought was the machloket between them. Therefore, Avahechi debadkan, the result of that would be that if you did check, v'lo ashkechan, and then you didn't find anything, imer modele rabbanon, the Rabbi Meir, del yon kadim. If that's the case, that they checked and the upper maturity was in place and there was no puberty, maybe the Chachamim would agree with Rabbi Meir in that case, because they agree that there's a minority of women where this is true. And once you've checked and that's what you found, we'll assign this woman to that minority. And even the Chachamim will agree to Rabbi Meir's position. Kamash Malan, that's why the Mishnah comes to tell you, D-E-F-Shar, that it's impossible that such a thing happens. So the Chachamim say, even if you check and you find that she is developed up above and you don't find any indications of puberty down below, that is impossible. And therefore, Elavadai Ati, rather, it must be that it came. The pubic hairs were there, and were not there Hudanatar, and they fell off. They were released. Meaning that the pubic hairs grew in, and then they dropped off. And we are just not seeing them now. We're not finding them, but they were there. And that's the Kamash Malan over here, or why the Mishnah had to say Efshar, to dispel this idea that the Chachamim's position is based on Rov. Because if their position is based on Rov, if we do an investigation and find that this is true here, that the upper body matured and the lower body does not have puberty, we would assign this woman to the minority. That's why the Mishnah tells you the Chachamim's position explicitly, Efshar. That's impossible. And how do I explain the phenomenon that we're looking at, that this woman has upper maturity without puberty? She hit puberty, she had the hairs, but they fell out. And that's the explanation for the phenomena that we're seeing in front of us. Mara says, Bishlom al Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, Hainu Dichtiv, I understand the pasuk in Yechezkel that says, Shadayim Nachonu, Usearech Tzimeach, that your breasts were ready, and then your hair grew in. Because according to Rabbi Meir, there is a possibility of such a phenomenon by which the woman's breasts will develop before she reaches puberty. Elo the Rabbanon, Ipcha Mibayle. According to Rabbanon, it should be just the opposite. It should be Sarech Tzimeach, and then Shadayim Nochonu, because the hair always grows in before the breasts develop. Where it says, Achi Kamar. You have to read the pasuk differently. Kaven Shishadayim Nochonu, B'yadua Shisarech Tzimeach. The pasuk's not giving you a chronological order of development. Rather, it's telling you that if the breasts are developed, then by definition, she also has reached the age of puberty. And therefore, it's a statement of not chronology or order, rather a statement, if this is true, so too it must be that the second half of the pasuk is true. Or in essence, it's saying to you that you have coincident indicators. If Shadayim Nochonu, then obviously Sarech Tzimeach. Where it says, Bishlama, the Rabbi Meir, once again, according to Rabbi Meir, the pasuk later on in Yechezkel, where it says, Hainu Dichtiv, when it says, Basot mi Mitzrayim dadayich, leman shdei ni'urayich. The way Rashi explains the pasuk is, Basot mi Mitzrayim dadayich, that the Mitzrayim were misakim bach, they were playing with you, they were touching your breasts, in order to call or cultivate you, so that when you were ready, leman shdei ni'urayich, that once you reach the age of Ni'urim, that they could be mitaneif, that they could actually do more with you. And so they were developing you or growing you into a mature woman so that they could benefit from you. So they started, they were cultivating you so for the future. And as Rashi says over here, the man shadei, the word shadei over means lashlich. And therefore it says here, the basot mitzrayim dadayich, that the Mitzrim played with your breasts in anticipation of, or before you've already shown or reached the age of puberty of Ne'urim. And if that's the case, again, it seems to be speaking to the order of the breasts developing before one reaches puberty. So for Rabbi Meir, where that's possible or plausible, that makes sense. But according to the Chachamim, that's Efshar. Again, how do you explain the pasuk? El Rabbanan Ipcha Mibayle. Once again, for the Rabbanan, it should be just the opposite. Hachi Amar. Kevan Shibo Dadayich. So again, the Rabbanim read it not as being chronologically ordered or a sequence, but rather as a statement of, if one is true, the other must be true. That if we see the development of your breasts, that we know already that you've reached the age of Ne'urim, that you've reached that point in time, which would mean that once you see the development of the breasts, that also indicates that Shtei Ne'urayich, that you've reached the age of Ne'urim, or that you've reached the age of puberty. Vivaitema, and someone suggests to answer on behalf of the Chachamim, my Shedei, that with the word Shedei over here doesn't mean Hashlacha, as Rashi says, to put forth or to grow, but rather Kulei Bedadei Ktiv. That's also the same word again, Dadayich and Shadayich, which are a reference to the breasts. It also means breasts. Vachi Kamar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yisrael. And this is what Hashem is saying to Bnei Yisrael. Ikrupu Dadayich Lo Adart Bechach. When your breasts started to develop or grow, you didn't back away. You didn't return to me. Ishtadu Dadayich Nami Lo Adart Bach. And when your breasts became fully developed, you still didn't return to me. So here it's talking about developmental stages, nothing to do with puberty at all, but rather the development of the breasts. So even though we went from an earlier stage of development to a later stage of development, nothing changed. You didn't mature, and you didn't return to Hashem. Rashi then brings a Lishna Achrino, which is, Ipkrifud's Nafchu, is that they expanded or they swelled from the touch of Mitzrayim, meaning that you were oppressed by them. And then Ishtadu Yavshu, that the second state is that it dried out. You went through different stages of oppression by Mitzrayim. At first, that you were swollen from the abuses of Mitzrayim, and that's Ikrufu. And then later on, you were dried out or shriveled up because of those abuses of Mitzrayim. And it's discussing the, again, stages of abuse or stages of difficulty that you underwent under the oppression of Mitzrayim. Mar says, "Dekuli Alma Miha Atachton Samchinan." Both Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in the end say that puberty is the determining factor. The only question we have is how much of an indicator are the simanim up above? Minolan, how do you know that puberty is the determinant factor? Some Rabbi Yehuda Amarav Chen Tana Debei Rabbi Shmala Makra. The pasuk says, "Ish o isha." That a man or a woman who does something wrong, does a chatat, hishva katuv isha liish, the cholonshin shivet Torah. The Torah over here, by saying ish o isha, when it refers to chatot adam, tells you that men and women are on equal footing when it comes to the punishments or the negative precepts of the Torah. Ma ish b'siman echad, af isha b'siman echad. Just like by a man, there's only one sign of coming of age. And that is, down below, puberty, they don't have another sign. So too, by Isha, the same thing will be true, that there will be only one sign, and that is down below. Bema, Ohai, Ohai. So why don't you say that, okay, there's one sign by man, and so too by the woman, there'll be one sign. Either her upper body, or her lower body. One of those two will be the sign, but you don't need both of them. You could have phrased it that way. Marzez Kish. No, it means exactly like a man. Ma ish tachton velo elyon. Just like by the man, the only sign of aging or coming of age is puberty. Afisha tachton velo elyon. So to for the woman, even though there are different areas of development or maturity that can indicate her age, nevertheless, the one that we rely on, the one that is definitive, is the one down below, and that is puberty because of this hekesh to ish. Now, even though, strangely enough, this turns out to be something where you're learning Efshar, mi'i efshar. You're learning something by a woman where it's efshar to use different simanim from a man where it's only possible to use one type of siman because he only has one type of siman. We saw earlier in the Masechta that it's not necessarily clear that we're danim efshar, mi'i efshar. You don't necessarily learn out something that's plausible from something that is implausible. So why over here is the Gemara determined that if it's true by an ish, it's also true by an ishah? So the Ritva answers over here that it is because it's a hekesh, and by a hekesh we don't invoke the principle of efshar can't be learned from efshar. When you're dealing with a logical argument or gzeirah shava, there you can say that you don't learn efshar from efshar, But over here, a hekesh can override the problem of efshar and efshar. Tanya Nami Yochi, we have a brayta that supports this contention. Nevertheless, Rabbi Tzadok, kachayu mifarshim biyabne ve'amru. This is the way they used to explain it in Yabne. That's where the chachamim were post the Churban HaBayit. Ve'amru, kevin shebatachton shuv ein mashkichim al elyon. Once you have the sign down below, we don't think about, or we don't consider the upper signs at all. In essence, the sign of puberty is the determinant factor, and those signs above are just simanim, or indications of the puberty down below. They in and of themselves are not sufficient signs. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Bnot Krachim, Tachton Mimaher Lavo, that when it comes to the women of the city, their simanim, their puberty, comes before their maturity of their breasts, because they are frequenting the bathhouses, for whatever reason, according to him, causes a development or maturity of the puberty before they have the development of their breasts. But note to Kfarim, the women of the villages, the upper part of their body develops faster than the lower part of their body or matures faster, because they are running the mills, and the mills require a lot of arm power, arm strength, and that arm power and strength develops the chest faster or forces the development of the chest faster, and therefore they can mature up above before they mature down below. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Shimon Elazar says, Benot Ashirim, when it comes to the wealthier women, Tzad Yamim Mimaher Lavo, their right breast develops before their left breast, Shenishof Be'afakri Sotan, because it gets rubbed by the scarves or the clothing that they wear, which sits on their right shoulder. Benot Aniim, the women or the daughters of the poor, Tzad Smol Mimaher Lavo, their left breast develops before their right breast, Mibnei Sheshoavot Kademayim Alehen, because that's where they put the pitchers of water. When they're drawing the water, they're carrying it or moving it with their left side. And because of that, they develop faster on their left side. V'yidema, others suggest, v'yidnation osim acheen al gisiseem. It's because they carry their brothers on their hips that also causes the development of their left side before their right side. Now, it's not clear here at all whether Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel over here are arguing on Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, or are they qualifying the Chachamim's position? You can see in the top Tosafot that the Palig ad Rabbanon, Shimon Gamliel argues on the Rabbanon, because they say that by all women, the lower half of their body develops before the upper half of their body, as opposed to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who qualifies that. Rabbi Meir, Nami Palig. And they also argue on Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir makes no differentiation between the women of the city and the women of the villages. Or in essence, this is a third position with regards to the Tanaim. You have the Chachamim, Rabbi Meir, and now you have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. That's one way to view their position. The other way to view their position is that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon Elazar are saying this within the position of the Chachamim. And they're qualifying the position of the Chachamim and saying, when do the Chachamim say it's efshar, that something like this would happen? That's only true by Benot HaKrachim. But by the Benot HaKfarim, it is possible to have it another way. And therefore, you might have the Chashash of Rabbi Meir with regards to the Benot HaKfarim. So that would be true if you think they are modifying or qualifying the Shita of the Chachamim. As to what the implications are of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, here you could go in one of two ways, which is if you find that the right is developing before the left, then we say that that's normal development and you don't worry about it. Or do you say that it must be that the right develops before the left because of the causes that he notes over here? And if it doesn't do such, this woman is questionable as to whether she's really seeing these simanim or not. You could look at Rabbi Shimon Lazar in both ways. You could look at him saying he's explaining a phenomenon, and if it happens, don't worry about it. Or he could be saying that this is the way it should happen. If it doesn't happen this way, then this woman is outside of the normal probabilities, and therefore maybe there's a problem over here. So again, it's not clear from the Gemara which way Rabbi Shimon Lazar is going. the left side develops before the right side. Rabbi Chanina ben Achi, Rabbi Yeshua Meir, Miolam lo kadam tzmad smol, the tzad yamim, it never happens that the left side develops before the right side. Chutz me'achat shayita b'shkunati, exception of this one woman who was in my neighborhood, she kadam smol, the tzad yamim, v'chazar le'itano, that at first her left side developed before her right side, but then after time, it corrected itself, and it went back to being normal. So again, here, you could ask the question, based on the Braita, as to what the meaning of Rabbi Shimon HaLazar's opinion is in the context of this Braita. Tarabanan, kol nivdakot, nivdakot api nashim. That women who need to be checked to see if they've come of age, they're checked by women, which is an obvious statement because obviously they're not going to be checked by men. Even though we had the incident with Shmuel yesterday, that was, he was trying to learn the stages. He wouldn't do checks on a regular basis. He did it in order to understand what the maturing was. Shmuel was a doctor. And therefore, he was trying to understand the physiological development of the woman. It wasn't something that was done on a regular basis. So here, what does that mean? That nivdakot al-pi nashim seems to indicate that the women are relied upon in terms of these bidikot. V'chein haya Rabbi Eliezer moser li ishto. Rabbi Eliezer used to give the women over to his wife to check them. Rabbi Shmuel moser li imo. And Rabbi Shmuel used to have his mother check the women. So you see here that, first of all, you can have women do the check, but even if women are going to do the check, you should go to women who are very reliable, or women that have ne'manut and have understandings of these matters. That's important as well, and that's indicated by who they chose to send the women to. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lifnei haperek, uleachar haperek, before the perek, which we have to define in a second, and after the perek, nashim bodkot otan, then you can have the women check them. Tok haperek, ein nashim bodkin otan. During that parak, the women can't check them. Shein masi'in sveikot opi nashim. Women can't give you psak halacha. They can't clarify sveikot. Basically, they can't have hachra'a. They can't be decisive in matters because hachra'a is only someone who's trained in esmicha can give that hachra'a. So Rashi over explains that haparak is a reference to what we saw in the previous parak, no pun intended, that we saw in the previous parak, that there is a threshold of ages with regards to the maturity of children. And that is until the age of 11 for a young girl, or until the age of 12 for a young man, they are considered to be tanim or youngsters. In that final year before their bat mitzvah or their bar mitzvah, they're considered to be a mufla samuch le'ish, and there they have a right to take nidarim in that instance. And if they understand what the nature of their neder is and to whom they're taking the neder, and it would be binding in that case. And we saw that might be Doraita, might be Dorabanan. That was the machlok we saw in the previous parak. And then there's coming of age, which is 12 years and one day for a girl, 13 years and one day for a boy. And that's when they reach maturity. And at that point already, they're considered to be gedolim. So what Rabbi Yehuda is speaking to, according to Rashi, is before the age of 11 for a girl, 12 for a boy, we let the women check them, because even if you find something, it's not going to matter, because before that age, we consider it to be a shuma, we consider it to be a birthmark, a mole that's growing hair and not puberty. After they've reached the age of bat mitzvah or bar mitzvah, then we're going to assume that they have already reached the age of puberty, and if the women check, they're just corroborating that matter. Whereas within the 12th year for a girl and the 13th year for a boy, during that period of time, if you find hairs then, that might have implications vis-a-vis the maturity of these individuals, and therefore we won't allow the woman to check, because then that would be classified as a hachra'a, as a decision or being decisive about a halachic matter or a status of an individual. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af toch haperek nashim bodkot otan. Rabbi Shimon says that even during that 12th year for the girl or the 13th year for the boy, they can be checked. And then we have a statement at the end of this braita, which is not clear as to whose opinion this is, that a woman is believed to go the chumrah, but not to go the kula. Ketzad. Where's an example of this? Gedola hi, shalot timain. If she declares her to be of age and she can no longer perform miyun, then that's fine. Ketana hi, shalot achlot. Or she declares her a minor, so that she can't have chalitza performed with her, that they are ne'eman for. Aval ein ne'eman et lomar, tana'i shetea tima'ein, and she doesn't have the right to say that she still is a minor, and therefore she can still perform miyun. Vigdolai, or declare her to be of age, shetachlots, that she has the ability now to perform a chalitza. That's the explanation of where a woman is believed the chumra, but she's not believed the kula. And even though, as Tosafot points out, that nemanut doesn't seem to be helpful in any way, because we wouldn't let her do miun during this period of time, irrespective of these women. Even absent these women, we would have assumed that she can't perform miun. The Bais Tosafot say that it's a nafkamina if these women said that they found hair during the Tocha Perek, and then somebody else comes afterwards and checks and says they don't find anything there. So they do have impact in the miun, because now that we have other evidence that suggests that she's still a ktana and should be able to perform miun, nevertheless, the first women that saw the hair now have impact on preventing her from performing miun. That's nafkamina of them finding the hair now and declaring her not able to do miun. That would have not been possible had it not been for these women. Because yes, absent any other evidence, we don't need these women to tell us she can't do miun. But now that we have contrary evidence, these women become important in taking away that contrary evidence and saying that she still can't perform miun here, because we're chosheish for what these first women saw. In addition, the Tosafot also asks, then why does it make a difference that these women tell us that she's a ktana and can't perform chalitza? Even if they told us that she had shtei sarot, they wouldn't be nemanot to tell us that she could perform chalitza. So obviously she can't perform chalitza. The Tosafot brings that these women that see two hairs now can then declare those hairs to be a shuma. And then if we find hairs later on after the perek, if they're the same hairs that these women saw before, they'll actually have enough kamina in preventing her from becoming a gedolda. And therefore, even with Chazaka Deraba, these women have impact because of the fact that they discovered this before she came of age. And that has impact on the hairs that are discovered afterwards if they're the same hairs. So these women do have enough kamina, and the Rav Akiva Eiger points out that that second different question could answer their first question as well as to what is the enough kamina of these women here, because Rav Akiva Eiger says that the Tosafot's answer is too complicated because the premise of his two questions are mutually exclusive. Because during this time, there has to be some default status of the woman. And he believes that that default status is that she can perform miun. So absent these women, she would have had the ability to perform miun. These women prevent her from having that ability to perform miun. Though they don't have the power to grant her the right to have chalitza performed with her. And vice versa, if they declare her a ketana to prevent her from being able to perform chalitza, it won't be strong enough a testimony to allow her to perform miun, because now that we know there's shtei sarot over there, their testimonies, when they declare those two sarot to be just the shuma, that's enough to take her a right to chalitza, but not to grant her the right to do miun. Amar mar, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So now Gemara goes back to understand Rabbi Yehuda's position in the Braita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lifnei haperek ulachar haperek nashim bodkot otan. They check them before their 12th year, and they also check them after they reach 12 years in one day into the 13th year. Bishlama lifnei haperek baibidika. The reason we want to do a check before she enters into her 12th year, meaning before she's 11 years in one day, shuma ninu. Because if I found it prior to her becoming 11 years in one day, and then I check again during her 12th year of life, 11 years in one day until 12, I check, and I find those hairs again, I'll know that those hairs were there previously, and they're not a sign of puberty, because when we found them earlier, it was too early. And if it's too early, then they're considered to be a birthmark or a mole, and not considered to be pubic hairs. So that's a reason to check early, because if I check earlier, I can then mark those off as being not pubic hairs, so when I see them later, they're not determinant. Ela la'achar perek lamali b'dika. But on the other hand, what's the point of checking after they're already 12 years in one day? What's the point of checking? At that point, we assume they are gedolim, so why would you want to check at that point? It doesn't tell us any information that we wouldn't have otherwise assumed. Bama rova, tana shigia l'klau shnotea, eina tzricha b'dika. A youngster that reaches her age, which is 12 years in one day, chazaka ibiya simanim. We have a chazaka that she's reached puberty as well, and we don't need to check for it. It's an assumption. It's a chazaka. We don't need to check for it. Ki amar Rava chazaka lemiun. When Rava said it's a chazaka, that's a chazaka that's strong enough to preclude her from doing things that she could only do while she was a ktana. For instance, miun can only be performed when she's a ktana. So if you have reached the age of 12 years in one day, we won't let you do miun anymore, Because there's a chazokah that once you reach that age, you've also reached puberty, and therefore you are precluded from performing miyun. Aval de chalitza b'yibdika. On the other hand, for chalitza, which is a dindo raita, where you have to be a gedola, there we won't allow you to go forward with it unless we know for certain that you are a gedola. We will not rely on this chazaka, and we'll have you check to ensure that you are a gedola. So then, the question of where Rava's din is applicable of chazaka, you can either say that chazaka de Rava is applicable in dine de Rabbonon. That might be where the chazaka is meaningful. Or you might say that the chazaka is applicable when it's the chumra, not when it's the kula. Meaning when it takes away privileges or rights from merit, then we rely on the chazaka. Where it grants or rights or privileges, there we would not rely on the chazaka. Or the chazaka just may put you into a world of safek. And therefore the ramifications of the world of safek are that you always go to achmir and not the hakel. Or it could be that we rely on the chazaka whereby it's not a major issue or where it's the chumrah, but where it's the kula or it's a major issue, doraita. It's a chazaka shenitan levarer. It's a type of chazaka that can't be checked. And since we can check it, we would prefer that you do the check rather than rely on the chazaka when it comes to things that are doraita. There's a different ways to formulate exactly what the chazaka of Rava does, but that would explain why we want you to do a check even after the time period that you've crossed over that age. So we want you below the age of Perek. We want you to do a check, because if you find something and then you find it again when she's in her 12th year, we'll just assume that that was there beforehand and it is a shuma. On the other hand, we also want you to do a check after she's 12 years and one day, because we want you to corroborate the fact that she is a gdola, so that we won't just be relying on a chazaka, and we can rely on it the kula, or we can rely on it for the doraita, or we can be mevarer the chazaka. So that's why you would check in both of those cases. On the other hand, tocha perek, einashim bodkot otan. During the period of time from 11 years and one day till 12, during that period of time, we do not do a check according to Rabbi Yehuda. Kasavar tocha perek kalachar perek. It's pretty clear that Rabbi Yehuda believes that if you were to find pubic hairs during that period of time, it would have implications of making you into a gedola. It would make her into a woman of age. And therefore, there's hachra'a going on over here. The status of the woman is being determined by whatever is found during her 12th year. Because he believes that during the 12th year, if you find hairs, they will be classified as pubic hairs, and they will make you as if you're post 12 years in one day, and you will be considered a gedola. So for that reason, we don't want them checking, the women checking during that period of time, because then they will be machria about her status, which they don't have the capacity or the right to do. On the other hand, the achara perek, once you've already crossed over 12 years in one day, there we allow them to check, even though there's also being machria, because the ikah chazaka derova, samchinan anashim ubadke. Since there's chazaka derova that's backing them up, then they are simply corroborating the information that we would have expected anyway. They're not giving achra'a, they're rather just corroborating what the chazaka would otherwise have stated. Whereas tocha perek, the leka chazaka derofa, during that period of time from 11 years and one day till 12, during her 12th year, where there is no chazaka derofa, lo samchina na nashim. There we don't rely on the women, below batke nashim. And therefore the women don't do a check, we don't allow them to do a check, because otherwise they'd be machria, and we have no other evidence besides them. Because we don't have evidence besides them, we're not going to rely on them, because that would be achra by the women. So that's the explanation for Rabbi Yehuda's position as to why we have the women check earlier, later, but not during the perek, and each one of them beforehand to determine whether it's a shuma, and therefore that which we see afterwards is not meaningful. Afterwards, to corroborate the chazaka de Rava, during the perek we don't let them check, because you don't have the chazaka de Rava, and therefore they become the sole arbiter as to whether this woman has become of age or not, and that we can't have be the case. Now, as far as the women doing the check over here and giving us information, aren't nashim psulim le'edut? Generally, women are not considered to be valid edim, and so why over here do we allow them to testify? And all the more so when it comes to davar sheve'erva, where you need shnayim, where you need two edim to testify with regards to davar sheve'erva, which this check that she does will have implications with regards to davar sheve'erva, because depending on the age of the girl, will also assign culpability in terms of her engagement in issues of Arayot, Erva, Kiddushin, Kalitza, Ibom. There are all these factors that are being affected by it. So why is it over here that we rely on a woman to do some of these checks? So the Rishonim point out over here, the Ramban, the Ritva, say, first of all, even though it's a Davar Sheba Erva implication, it itself is not a Davar Sheba Erva. When we require two Eidim, but Davar Sheba Erva is when that item itself is a Davar Sheba Erva. Over here, where it only precipitates issues of Davar Sheba Erva, there we don't necessarily require two Eidim. The second thing they say is that the woman is believed over here, because it's a milta de atzia ligluya. It is not really a testimony by the woman, but rather it's a gilui milta. She's just identifying for us information that will come out in the end anyway. It's information that can't be checked. It's information that can't be verified. It's information that will be made public or known at a certain point in time, and therefore her testimony is not really testimony. It's really simply a gilui milta. She's identifying for us information that could otherwise be garnered or gathered by other individuals, and therefore it's considered to be gilui milta and not edut. Or you could just say that women have nemanut with regards to isurim, edacha neman b'isurim, and so too women are nemanot with regards to isurim, and so too over here, the woman would be nemenet because we're dealing with matters of isur, and therefore she's nemenet over here. In addition, the Ritva suggests that if you have more than one woman do it, it would actually be better. Even though this is not edut, by edut, two edim are better than one ed. But by cases where edachan is neman, or by yisurim where we say that any individual is neman, over there we never say you need two. One is sufficient. Nevertheless, what the Ritva suggests is over here is that the more that you have women involved, the less likely there is to be a mistake in the matter. And the more corroborating views that we get, the better the gilui milta in this instance. And therefore, we would, first of all, favor using women who have nemanut or extending shteirim, like we saw before, the Tanaim are using their wives or their mothers. Number two is we prefer more than less women, because that will help us to be certain that the gilui milta that's taking place, the identification over here, is correct. And then, lastly, it might be more favorable to use a woman who's not a relative in these cases because of the bias that is associated with a relative doing this. Although many Rishonim say, and there are Shulchan Aruch Paskins this way, that even relatives can do the check because this isn't a form of edut, it's only a form of gilui milta. And just like with regards to other gilui milta or edecha neman bisurim, relatives don't matter. That issue is not a problem. Then, so to over here, it would not be a problem. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Apto Chaperek Nashim Bodkot Otan. Even during that interim period in the 12th year, the women can check them. Kasavar, it's clear that Rabbi Shimon believes, Toch Haperek Kalifnei Haperek. That during that period of time, even if you find pubic hairs, we will just assume that she is too young, and that whatever is there is a Shuma, and not a determination that she is of age. And therefore, Ubayi Bedika, the reason we want you to do a bdika then is, because if you find them later on, after she's 12 years and one day, shumaninu, you already identified this prior to 12 years and one day, and now that you see them after 12 years and one day, it's the same hair that you saw before. And just like that hair before was not definitive in determining that she is of age, so too later on, those same hairs are not going to be determinant with regards to her reaching the age of puberty. And that's why it's important to check before, so you have that information for afterwards. As we noted before, this is the last line of the Braita, and it's not clear who it's attributed to. The Gemara says over here, Haiman Ketonila, who wrote this part of the Braita? Ibai Tema Rabbi Yehuda. Some say it's a reference to Rabbi Yehuda's position, Vatocha Perek, and it's dealing with in the Perek of time. Which remember, he says don't check during that period of time, because we don't allow the woman to be machuia, that this girl is a gdola, which would be the case if we find that she has pubic hairs during the ages of 11 years and one day to 12. And therefore, we don't allow a woman to check. But if a woman did do a check, then Rabbi Yehuda's position is, we allow her to be believed with regards to being machmir on this girl, but not to be meikyo on her. I mean, that will preclude her from doing miyun anymore, but it won't allow her to do chalitza. Be by Dema Rabbi Shimonu. And some say that it is Rabbi Shimon Ula Achara Perek, and it's dealing with when she's already 12 years and one day. The late Chazoka de Rova, and he doesn't have the chazaka de Rava, and therefore, even after she comes 12 years and one day, we don't believe the women over there totally, because they don't have the ability to be machriya or change the status of this girl. And because he doesn't subscribe to Rava's chazaka, we can't say that they are just corroborating what exists as a chazaka. They're actually being machriya according to him, and therefore we only allow them to give us determinations the chumra, but not to give us determinations the kula. Now Tosfot over here says with regards to the psak halacha, Rabbi Inu Chananel posek the halchilkatuk Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbi Inu Chananel paskins that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon over here, that toch haperek is kadifnei haperek, that during that period of time from 11 years and one day until 12 is considered like she is a minor, and even if you find pubic hairs, then it will make no difference. He says about the Rabbeinu Chananel, when we talk kach pasak nami den halacha kerova. He says, well, Rabbi Shimon's position is correlated with the conclusion of the Gemara over here that he doesn't hold of Rava's chazaka. So if I'm paskin like Rabbi Shimon that tocha perek is kalifnei perek, I'm also going to paskin against Rava and that there is no such thing as chazaka de Rava. And the Balei Tosafot disagree and say the ain nira. He says that I don't think the two are correlated. You can paskin the lochas like Rabbi Shimon and still paskin like chazaka de Rava, because the two are not necessarily correlated or they are not integrally connected. Because you could explain that last line in the Braita as referencing to Rabbi Yehuda. If you do that, then you separate out Rabbi Shimon from Rava's position, and therefore Rabbi Shimon doesn't have to disagree with Rava, and you can pass him like Rabbi Shimon and still pass him like Rava. And that's what the Balei Tosafot think, that the Psak is over here. The Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, the Tocha Perkas Lifnei Aper, but they also believe the Halacha is like Rava, that there is a Chazaka de Rava, and when you cross over the age of 12 years and one day, there is a chazaka that you've reached of age and you've reached puberty. And he says, I have evidence of that because umasim b'kol yom, tesamchina b'dikat nashim l'chara perek, that every day we rely on women to do the check of these girls after they are 12 years in one day. And that would be not like Rabbi Shimon, if you believe the two are correlated. And therefore, I don't believe that the two are correlated. Rabbi Shimon's din is tocha perek is kid lifnei perek, but Rabbi's din of chazaka still stands. Then he brings down Omer Rebbe. The Balei Tosafot bring a different shot in the whole sugya over here and say that the meaning of Tocha Perek is not the same meaning that it had in the previous Perek. And that is because in the previous Perek we spoke about Tocha Zman Kelachar Zman or is Tocha Zman Kelifnei Zman. And he points out how come in the previous Perek they used the word Zman and over here they used the word Perek. That tells me that whatever we're speaking about here is not what we were speaking about in the previous parak. That's number one. Number two is, the Gemara over there said that the position of Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that said, Tochazman Skalachazman, they were itotav. We had there a Tanaic work which seemed to disprove their position, and we said Chiyukta on that because of that Tanaic work. Why would we say that if the Gemara over here has Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda arguing about exactly that issue? And therefore, there is a Tana that backs up Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Levi's position. Why would you say Itotav? You would have said Tanayehi. It's a machloket Tanayehi. And they subscribe to another Tana, like we see in our Perek over here. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam, the Pelige Hocha, B'yom Acharon Shel Shnat Yudbet, B'yom Echad L'Nekeva, or B'yom Shnat Yudgim, B'yom Echad L'Zachar. That they're arguing over here about the last day of 12 years in one day for a girl, or 13 years in one day for a boy. Be'oto yom, and that final day is called Tocha Perek. That is Tocha Perek. Rabbi Yehuda, habizman avat se'arot mitzchilat hayom. Right as you enter into that day, 13 years in one day or 12 years in one day, as soon as you enter into that day, that already is considered to be Tocha Perek, kalachar perek. That's already considered that you've reached the age where maturity would indicate that you should be seeing pubic hairs. And if we find them then, that's an indication that you are of age. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says you have to wait until the end of the day. You need to do a full 13 years and one day. You need a full one day, whether that means May the 8th until the exact hour, or it means the entirety of the next day, which it seems to be from what the Balei Tosafot is saying over here. And he says, when we have a machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda, that the zman of maturity and becoming of age is at the beginning of the 12 years and one day, the beginning of that last day, and the beginning of 13 years in one day. And that is the way that we paskin, as we said before, by many of the Achronim, that as soon as you enter into the 13 years, that day afterwards, and 12 years in the day afterwards, we assume that the girl is bat mitzvah, we assume the boy is bar mitzvah. And then he makes some small notes over here that it's worthwhile if we have youngsters that come before us for Yibum or Chalitza, that we should check them to see that whatever they have now, when we come and check them again, when they come of age, therefore we can identify that which was there before will not be determinant when we find it afterwards. That's number one. And number two is, he says that if a woman is fully developed, meaning her upper body or breasts are fully developed, then you don't need to do a check, because that, we said already, means way past the age of puberty, because that is already into being a bogeret. And if that's the case, you don't need to do a check. You can assume that she has reached the age of puberty, because it's so obvious that she has matured. Right, just to finish up the Gemara over here, it says, Mipnei Shamru Efshar. It says in the Mishnah, again, at the end of the Mishnah, that the machloket about Efshar and Efshar is repeated again. Hatzulamali, Hatanale Resha. You already said in the Resha it's Efshar, and now you're telling me in the Seifa again that it's Efshar. V'chei teima mishum deka boi lemistama ki rabbonon. You want to say maybe it's to make a stam Mishnah like the Rabbonon at the end, so we know that we pass like the Chachamim. Pshita, you don't need to tell me that. Yechid rabim, alocha ki rabim. If it's a machloket Chachamim, Rabbi Meir, we're going to pass them like the Chachamim, the locha goes like the Rabbim. You don't need a stam Mishnah to tell you that. So Mao de Tema, Mistavra Taima de Rabbi Meir, I would have thought maybe the reasoning or the logic of Rabbi Meir makes sense to call Messiah cry, because the psukim that we brought from Yechezkel seem to be very supportive of Rabbi Meir's contention. Kamash Malon, that we don't say that, and we still say that Aloha ki Rabbim, Aloha is like the Chachamim. V'im v'yitem v'shum d'kobay l'mitnei ki yotze bo. Or the reason that we do that is because of the next Mishnah upcoming, which says Kiyotzibo, similar to our Mishnah. Just like our Mishnah has a case of Efshar and Efshar, certainly in other areas of Halacha, we'll have cases that are similar to that. And so we repeat it at the end of the Mishnah to parlay into the next Mishnah, which is Kiyotzibo. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Memtet, Amud Aleph.